going to read a scripture together found in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 to 17. Let's all read that together. It's found on the screen. Let's read starting from verse 14. The Word of God says, "But for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." Now we invite our brother, Jeffrey Cheng, to speak to us on Timothy and the Bible.
Let's pray before our sermon. Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us this, your word, the Bible. We pray that your Holy Spirit be with us and teach us directly so that we can understand your word, so that we can live it out in our daily life, so as to glorify your name. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. As you may know, 2 Timothy is one of the books of written by Apostle Paul, and this is the last pastoral book and pastoral letters written by Paul. And the last pastoral letter, 2 Timothy, is also the last book of Paul having included into the canon. So today, let's 2 Timothy have four chapters, and 2 Timothy chapter 3 is the second last chapter. And today we will look at the verse 14 to 17, and which is the last four verses of that chapter. So this is, you can say this is the last word given by Paul. The passage, the summary of the chapter 3 of 2 Timothy is given in the screen. The first 9 verses is talking about the situation at that time, the godlessness in the last days. And verses 10 to 17 is a final charge given to Timothy. Because at that time there were some false teachers. So Paul reminded Timothy, taught him how to encounter that scenario. In verses 10 to 13, it is about Paul himself. He set himself as an example. And today's passage, 14 to 17, is usually we say it is the use of the Bible. We just read the passage, and you may find that verses 16 to 17. We are very familiar with this passage. It is about the Bible. But we seldom talk about 14 to 15. Please note that 14 to 17 is a whole passage. It is a whole passage. So when we read the whole passage, we can ask at least four questions. Four possible questions. The first question is... Oh, thank you. The first question you may ask is, what is the relationship between verses 14, 15, and 16, and 17? What is the relationship between these two parts? What is missing if we just read the 16 to 17? This is the most difficult question and most challenging one. We will encounter and we will handle this question at the end of the sermon. Another question we have to ask is, why did Apostle Paul use so much effort to introduce the Holy Scripture to Timothy? This is the basic question we have to ask. Another interesting question is, in 3:14, why did Paul remind Timothy from whom he learned the Scripture? This question is usually overlooked by us. And the last question can be in verse 17. Why did Paul use the term the servant of God? This is the most important question. Let's see one by one. The first question, the basic question. Why did Apostle Paul spend so much effort to introduce the Holy Scripture to Timothy? The passage have told us about four unique characteristics of the Bible. Four unique characteristics. In 5:15b, we just read, the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. The content of the Bible is about Jesus Christ, the salvation of Jesus Christ. This is the content is unique. Why? For the false teachers, they do not teach the Bible. Instead, they will teach something. They will teach something other than Jesus Christ. They teach about general knowledge, like health knowledge, psychological wisdom, or wealth accumulation method. They teach this as truth. But Paul reminds Timothy to go back to the Bible, so as to encounter the false teachers. The unique content of the Scriptures is about God Himself. So you may have heard about it, that there are three ways of the revelation of God Himself: through the creation of the world, through the creation of the nature, and through the human testimonies, and also through the Bible. There is a real story. In 1929, a missionary, he was driving his car in the Inner Mongolia, through the Gobi Desert. In the desert, there were no people. There was no people. And at this moment, his car suddenly broken down. And he had to got down from the car and check the engine. Suddenly, a person appeared in front of him. He is a person. The person is a solitary hermit living in the desert by himself, living alone. The person, why he was living in the desert, because he looked around the nature. He believed that there is a God, but he don't know who he is. So he stayed in the desert and search who is the God, who is God. And at this moment, the missionary met this person. And so the missionary is very excited. He shared the Bible with him, shared the gospel with him, and shared the Romans 1:20 with him. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been done, and so that the people are without excuse. So the missionary share the Bible and gospel. The Bible is the most complete revelation of God. After reading the Bible and hearing the gospel, he confessed his sins and believed in God. And once he believed in Jesus, then car of the missionary suddenly returned to normal and can run again. This is our testimony. The testimony reveals that God is with the missionary. So you can see, too, yes, God can reveal himself through the testimony, through the creation of the world. But through these two things, the revelation is not complete. It's incomplete. People can't understand fully about God, but through the Bible, people can understand who God is. And that's why we said the content of the Bible is unique and cannot be replaced by any other things. The second unique characteristic, according to the passage, is the source. In 3:16a, we said all scripture is God-breathed. God-breathed means from God. And here, all scriptures mean every passage, every book. That means every book are from God. So, it implies the biblical inerrancy. That's why you may heard about this verse for many, many times, because the systematic theology used this verse to support that the Bible has no error. In the Greek, the verb God-breath is a compound word. It is God and Spirit combined together. So some people said this is the speaking of God, translated as the inspired by God. Also can be translated as through the work of the Holy Spirit, because there is two parts of the word, God, Spirit. So we said from this part we can see the unique source of the Bible, God. The third unique characteristics is about the benefits. It benefits us in verse 16, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training, and training in righteousness. Teaching means the Bible is an instruction about the truth. Rebuking means the Bible helps us to confess our sins and make corrections. It means our behavior will have some changes. And finally, the training in righteousness means it is a guidance for our living. So, the Bible is not theoretical or theoretical, but it is also practical. It is useful in our daily life. Especially here, you can find the word useful. It is not a simple word useful. In Paul's writings, he used these terms three times. All are in his pastoral letters. One in 2 Timothy, another two is in Titus and 1 Timothy. The same word used in 1 Timothy means is the verse for physical training is of some value, but godliness have value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Here, the value is the same word as useful. You may see this kind of useful or value is personal goods, personal benefit. But in the Titus, you may find that the term profitable is the same as the useful. But it points to for everyone. It is a corporate level. So you may understand why we use the Bible in our daily devotion. It is for the personal good. And we use the Bible in the Bible study for corporate benefit. So the benefit of the Bible is unique and cannot be replaced. This is the fourth unique characteristics is the unique power. The unique power. In verse 17, so that the servants of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You may find that the word be equipped is a passive voice verb, which means we are not. The Bible is for us, not. It is a passive. We are equipped by God. We are not doing the good work. The doing the good work is not the emphasis, not the stressing, the main point. The point is we are equipped by God. Be equipped. The Bible is helping us to be equipped. So the Bible is good for us, is changing our lives. The power is to change us, to equip us. We have heard many testimony about people who are going to divorce. The couples read the Bible together, and the broken marriage can be recovered. And some people may planning to commit suicide. And after reading the Bible, they change their mind. Some people who are with the drug addiction, after reading the Bible, they stop taking drugs. These are the testimony we always heard. And this shows that the power of the Bible is unique and can change our life. And this kind of power cannot be replaced by any other things. So the first answer of the first question, why did Paul spend so much effort to introduce the Bible to Timothy? We can, from the passage, we find that at least the Bible has four unique characteristics. The Bible is irreplaceable because it has unique content, unique source, unique benefit, and also unique power. It cannot be replaced. Paul would like to remind Timothy about the correct understanding of the Bible. He wants to highlight about what the scripture is. Now, we have answered the first question. Sometimes when we read the passage, a passage which we are very familiar with, we may easily overlook some details of the passage. Because of the missing, we may have deviation in getting the main points. For example, take today's passage as an example. In 3:14 to 17, is this solely talking about the Bible? Is this solely talking about the Bible? No. Because we may have overlooked some details, like from whom the reminder in 3:14. In 3:14, why did Paul remind Timothy from whom he learned the scripture? 3:14, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know who those from whom you learned it. You can see this continue in what? It is a command given by Paul to Timothy. But more interesting is, by knowing from whom Timothy learned the Bible, Timothy will continue in what he learns. So it is an issue about authority. So we have to ask, whose authority is Paul referring to? The authority should be sufficient enough to urge Timothy to continue in what he has learned. So, what did the scholar say? The scholar. Some scholar said, it should be pointing to his mother and grandmother, because in chapter 1, it mentioned about Louis and Eunice. Some people said, it should be pointing to the other teachers, like Sunday school teachers, because in chapter 2, it mentioned about many witnesses. We understand that these are the teachers of Timothy. Some people said it should be Paul himself, because in 3:10 to 13, it's about Paul's behavior as an example for Timothy. Some people said, it should be all of the above. So, is it? But when we take either one of them as the answer of from whom the reminder pointing to, there are some difficulties. For example, if it's only referring to Paul himself, it seems a little bit strange, because when we read different other books of Paul, we find that Paul is very humble. If Paul is pointing to himself, it's just like Paul is boasting about himself. How about Timothy's grandmother and other teachers as well, or mother? It seems that if it is pointing to the parents, it seems not persuasive enough. For example, if your parents remind you to put on one more coat because today is windy, will you do it? Or if you asking your daughter to drink some more water, will she follow your instruction? It seems not, right? The authority of the parents is limited. I understand, because I have been a teenager before, and I have my children now, who are now responding in this way to me too. So the authority of the parents seems limited. And even if we say all of the above, it seems have some difficulties. Because in 3:7, which is just before our passage, Paul is reminding Timothy to be careful, because don't follow those people who are false teachers. If you follow them, you will always learning, but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. On one hand, Paul is pointing to some people who are false teachers. On this side, he said, you have to remember from whom you learned, pointing to some people, then it seems that Paul is very subjective and biased to some parties. So, whose authority is Paul referring to? In other passages in the Bible, Jesus has mentioned that we should be taught by God. Also, Paul, in other writings of Paul, has also mentioned that we are taught by God. And even in Apostle Paul, John. In John has also write that we have to learn from according with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will teach us. So in the New Testament, we have found many passages that we should be learned from God. How about Old Testament? Isaiah said we are taught by God, taught by the Lord. Jeremiah said we will not teach our labor. No longer will they teach the labor. The Lord said, I will put my law in their mind. In the Old Testament and the New Testament have also referred that we will eventually learn directly from God. So let's go back to today's passage. There is some hints for us that Paul has reminded Timothy that Timothy is not only taught by many people, but also by God. In verse 15, when you read it, you may have learned that and know how from infancy you have learned the Holy Scriptures. The word infancy, what is the meaning of infancy? The same word appears in Luke. Here, the same word is baby. What kind of baby? The baby in the mother's womb. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby lived in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. The baby has not yet born there yet, but the same word he used here, how from infancy you have known the scripture. So Timothy known the scripture but can be inside the mother's womb. So you may argue, it should be pointing to the prenatal education. So it should be pointing to the mother's illness. If you are a mother before, or giving birth to any children before, you should be understand what is the action of God and what is prenatal education. The action of God is much more powerful than the prenatal education. Also, prenatal education is not effective in many cases. My daughter was an example. When my daughter was in Jessica, my wife's womb, she always kick or stress her arms and legs so that I can see the movement on the belly of my wife. And every time when I saw this, I would like to take my photo, take my mobile to record it, and I would like to take the video. However, every time when I take out my mobile, she stopped. And I asked my wife, I asked Jessica to, teach your daughter, ask her to continue so that I can record. But every time I asked Jessica to do this, but she failed. So the baby's simple action, let's say kicking or not, cannot be taught by her mother. But on the other hand, there are many things that the mothers have not taught, but the babies learned automatically. For example, Joanna, She bathed with her mouth and nose once she was born. I witnessed the truth. Once she come out and she cried and she used the mouth and the nose. But at the same time, I'm sure that she is not learning from her mother, because at that time her mother is still learning how to breathe, how to breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out. So it is not taught by her mother. So from God, the baby can learn how to breathe. Also, we can learn the Bible from God. By asking Timothy from whom he learned the scripture, Paul is reminding Timothy about God, not only from the mother, grandmother, or other teachers, but also from God. So it's reminding Timothy about God. Paul is not diminishing the Lewis, Eunice, or other teachers. He is reminding Timothy to shift his focus from human to God because of the authority of God. Timothy has to continue in what he had learned. This understanding is consistent to Paul's other teachings. Paul has also reminded teachers to be humble and emphasize on God's work. So in 1 Corinthians, you can see what, after all, is Apollos? What is Paul? Only servants, through whom you came to believe as the Lord has assigned to each of his tasks. I plant the seed, Apollos water it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes the things grow. A good preacher and good Sunday teacher will shift the focus to God and helping the participant to think about God. So the faith from whom you learned it is not a denial to the effort of Sunday school teachers. It is not a denial to the importance of the Sunday school. Instead, we are reminded that the teaching from God. So as a participant of the Sunday school, we can long for a closer relationship with God. Maybe God will teach us something about that the teacher or the preacher have not mentioned, because God can teach you directly. By asking Timothy from whom he learned the scripture, Paul was reminding Timothy to remember God. So let's go to the third question. Why did Paul use the term the servant of God? This is an important question, a most important question. The answer of this question, who is the servant of God in this verse, is Timothy. It refers to Timothy. Why not using the pronoun you, so that you may be fully equipped for every good work? Why not using you? You can see here the term the servant of God is emphasizing the identity of Timothy. You are the servant of God. But why not using other titles, the believers or the Christian? Why not? Why using the servant of God? So let's look at the passage again. From the bottom to the upward, the servant of God in verse 17. And the scripture is God back in verse 16. In verse 15, it's about Jesus. The Bible is about Jesus. God is about God. And in verse 14, it said, from whom is we helping Timothy to think about God. So you may find that God is the common factor, the common denominator of these four verses. Let's look at the verses from above to from the top to the bottom. From whom? A question about who. And in verse 15, it's about the contents of the scripture. It's about Jesus Christ, the Holy Son. And the verse 16 is about God back. The Bible is God back. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. And in 17, the servant of God can imply it is the servant of the Heavenly Father. With this perspective, you may find that the concept of Trinity is exposed a little bit here. By choosing the term, the servant of God, we will realize that the concept of God is penetrated over these four verses. By choosing the term of the servant of God, you may find that the importance of the self-identity of Timothy, After we have read the passage for so detailedly, we may now go to the most difficult question and the most challenging question. What is the relationship between 14, 15, and 16, 17? What is the missing if we only read 16 to 17? Absolutely, we know that 16 to 17 is pointing to the Bible. It is about the Bible. Bible is inspired by God. We affirm this. But you may find that if we only read 16, 17, we will miss 14, 15, Timothy. Why? You may find that the verse 14, the subject is Timothy. And verse 15 is the complement of 14, verse 14. So it is a complement to Timothy. And the content is about the Bible. The Bible supporting the Timothy. And in verse 16 to 17, as we all know, it is about the Bible or Scripture. And the complement 17 is the servant of God, Timothy, is supporting the Bible. So you may find that the structure is very balanced. And Timothy and the Bible in these four verses are equally weighted. That's why today's title of the sermon is Timothy and the Bible. Timothy and the Bible. So what is the relationship between Timothy and the Bible? We have all just said. The relationship between Timothy and the Bible is already shown in the passage, which we have seen that the common denominator, the common factor is God. God is the relationship depends on God. If Timothy remember God, and Timothy have a correct self-identity that he is the servant of God, then he should love and care about the word of God, because the word of God is God's best. But if Timothy did not remember God, and he did not recognize himself as a servant of God, then even we tell Timothy, the Bible is God's best. The Bible is unique. The Bible is irreplaceable. Timothy will say, so what? And he won't read the Bible. Paul is reminding Timothy his self-identity. And he is the servant of God. So, the existence of a relationship determines a person's response. If your spouse writes you a love letter, you should care about it. It is normal that you would like to read the letter, right? If it is the case, it is normal that if some people said the Bible is a love letter of God given to his people. If it is the case, we should also care about the Bible. The people of God should love to read the Bible, right? There are four stages of the relationship. Establishing the relationship or enhancing, also deteriorating and broken relationship. Different stages of relationship will have different response. When we say a person do not care about the an action implying that the relationship is deteriorating or broken. It doesn't mean that. So when we say some brothers and sisters do not care about the Bible, we won't say the brothers and sisters is broken relationship with God. We say maybe he is deteriorating. So we need to understand that the stages of relationship will change over time. We need to avoid the deterioration. Take my children as an example. My son always asks me, to pay with him. But I forget that he is my son. I forget the relationship with him. Because when I was busy with my homework or work or something else, I would say, Jason, I'm not available now. You pay with yourself. Without accompanying my kids, my son, it is an indication that I'm not care about him at that moment. Not caring about him means my relationship is deteriorating. My parents-child relationship is deteriorating. I forgot that they are my children at that moment. In order to avoid further deterioration, I need to change. I have to rebuild the relationship with my children. I should treasure on the time when my children still need my company. It is time for me to put aside my homework, my work, and stop studying for a while and pay with him. When you were 20 years old, at that age, have you ever received any love letters? Have you ever put the love letters under your pillows and time by time you get it out and read it? Have you this practice or experience? But after 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, maybe the person is now become your husband or wife. Now, you may have lost patience with your spouse. The same person now speaks to you in the second word or the third word, you have already want to close your ears. This means you don't care about what she wants to say or he wants to say. This means your marriage relationship is deteriorating. In order to avoid further deterioration, you need to change. You have to rebuild the relationship with your spouse. Marriage relationship should have a higher priority than the parent-child relationship. So it is time for you to put aside your children and go dating with your spouse. In most of the cases, during the first year when we believe in Christ, we enjoy reading the Bible. We have daily devotion. But somehow after a road trip, a business trip, your daily practice have changed and have been better. And the daily devotion has gone away. Maybe even now you may find that you read the Bible only once a week during the sermon. You don't care about what the Bible says. Our relationship with God is deteriorating. As a servant of God, we have to avoid further deterioration. We need to change. We have to rebuild the relationship with God. Our relationship with God should have a higher priority, have the highest priority, a higher priority than everything. Should be higher than that of marriage relationship, higher than that of the parent-child relationship. It's time to put aside everything and walk with God. Start with the Word of God by reading the Bible. Pray to God and ask God to rebuild our relationship with Him. To sum up, today's passage is not solely about the Bible. Yes, the Bible is inspired by God. The Bible is unique. The Bible is irreplaceable. But today's message also reminds us about God. Also remind us about God. The Holy Spirit can teach us. God can teach us directly. The more importantly, never forget about our self-identity. We are the servants of God. As a servant of God, we should chase for the wisdom of salvation. As a servant of God, we should live out the word of the Lord as an act of loving Jesus. As a servant of God, we should learn the Bible from God as instructed in the Old Testament and the New Testament. As a servant of God, we should allow the Word of God to equip us in every way, which is useful and beneficial to us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Your word is powerful and true. We praise you. May your name be glorified. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.